want to find trolls? You know they're dangerous, yeah?
Oh, no, no, no. Rock trolls, not bridge trolls.
Oh, yeah, they're quite nice.
So you can direct me to them?
No, I've never met them.
You just said they were nice.
I've heard.
Please help me. I just lost my mother.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Trolls can't bring life. But I can help soothe you. Have you tried the sauna?
No. Oh, thank you.
Welcome back to a new episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time, it's a yearly and a weekly podcast. We've been doing this for 4 years already. It's hard to believe. Today, we're going to talk about episode 6 of this fourth season called Family Business. Joining me today, three big fans of the series Once Upon a Time, Shelley, Lisa, and Deborah. Welcome to the show.
Hey,
just,
Father.
Just before we recorded, we were reminiscing about the time when we started to record this show. The kids were still so young.
That's how we measure all time.
Yes.
I think I recorded my first or my second one with my newborn rocking in a... if you go back and listen, you can probably hear him crying or squealing a little or cooing.
And now he's almost old enough to join us on the show.
It's three.
Well, what a fitting introduction to this episode called Family Business, because that's what it is. Let's listen to the sound of the trailer to bring back the story of this episode.
Who came to find out my secrets?
Next Sunday, a truth will be revealed.
This isn't from our world.
Twin sister against sister.
What is it, Anna? What did you find?
Husband against wife.
I trusted you.
And lead to the unthinkable.
Some secrets are better left buried.
This episode was all about secrets, and the biggest secret of them all was none other than Belle's secret. She actually had a dark patch in her past, and she has been keeping that a secret for a very, very long time. And of course, that has a lot of consequences for how this story will unfold. As usual, I ask you your initial impressions. What did you think of this episode? How would you rate it? Deborah?
Since I actually was like 2 weeks behind until like yesterday, mm-hmm. So I watched both these episodes back to back. And I have to say that given this episode, I was like, it's all right. I'd probably give it a 7 comparatively to the episode after, where I'm like, yeah, I'd rank that a little higher. Mm-hmm. But this one, for whatever reason, I guess Belle's dirty little secret didn't really wow me, I guess.
You know, It wasn't evil enough. It was just
No. One last thing is that I was kind of, I guess, annoyed at her that she didn't really believe that, you know, about the whole she doesn't have the real, you know, dagger. And I was like, oh, come on. So a little bit annoyed with Belle.
She was a bit naive, but then again, I think it's again, she wants to love Rumpel so much, and so love makes you blind. Yeah. Even an intellectual girl like Belle. Shelley, what did you think of this episode?
Well, I don't think it's any secret that Belle is not my favorite character. I apologize to everyone out there who loves and adores Belle, but on this show, she's not. I loved this episode. I mean, I took it from the whole perspective and not just the Belle and her secret, but more the, oh, wow, Belle's keeping this big secret. Rumpel's keeping this big secret. I see a lot more being woven in here. I'm seeing elements of all these different stories being pulled together. And when that one ended, I was just big grin on my face. So I'm giving it an 8.
Nice. It's definitely you see the writer starting to weave the fabric of this first half of the season. This is definitely going to some kind of conclusion, and every episode seems to reveal at least a few bits of the underlying tissue and what's going on. That's kind of the strength, I think, of this whole season.
It's the attention to detail for me. I'm seeing a lot of attention to detail.
It's also very much hearkening back to, and we'll talk about this later on as well, to the early themes of the whole show. This is about family. It's about true love, about betrayal as well, about evil always having a reason, you know, an origin. And it's definitely about choices, not just determinism. You are who you are. You're either evil or good. No, it's all about what are the consequences of the choices that you make. And sometimes people do stupid things. And
magic always comes with a price.
That too. Absolutely. Lisa, how would you rate this episode?
Oh, I would say about a 7. It wasn't great, but it wasn't, you know, bad or anything. And I have to say, for I always watch it with my kids, and so their favorite moment was seeing Oaken in the summer sale, the shop. Yeah, I mean, they just went crazy. It was so funny because he looked just like the cartoon in Frozen.
I agree.
So everybody went crazy. They were like, oh my gosh, you know. So that had to be my favorite
detail.
Moment.
Yeah. The detail.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was very funny, and you can go into the sauna and your friend have fries.
It was very funny, yes.
You almost were waiting for him to say something like, hi to the family,
yes.
You know, where he waved.
Yes.
I really think they're doing a terrific job, and in our next discussion for next week's episode, it's even better take the story of Frozen and just create a whole backstory to the characters. I think that's really impressive what they do. I agree with Shelley that I somehow could not connect very well with Belle, and I've had the same problem. Part of the problem that I have in this episode is that they show all these flashbacks and Belle is supposed to be this young girl and doesn't really come across. It's kind of like, no, you're a little bit too old to be the girl that you try to play. And I don't know what it is, but
I give her a pass on that. Like I said, I looked at it from the whole perspective rather than just... I did like, there were little moments in there. I liked seeing her mother. I liked getting that backstory. And you notice in this episode, they let her ride up to the moment of there's someone who can help us. And his name is Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we first see him in, was it Skin Deep, wasn't it? The episode in season one?
Mm-hmm.
Where she wants to be the hero. And now we know where her motivation came from. So from that perspective, that's what I meant by this episode just pulled all these elements and tied everything together.
Yes, yes. They do actually really continue to develop these characters. And I'm always wondering how much did they know when they started this this whole series about how these characters would evolve? Or is this just very clever writing, just, you know, going with the flow of these characters and the writers discovering the depth of these characters at the same time as we are? But it's really nice to see that depth and the connections to those previous seasons makes you feel like we didn't watch them for nothing, you know? There is actually a good explanation why we watched this series, because it's all connected.
What I would wager for you, Father, that they probably had a Snow Queen storyline in there because of the elements of the mirror and the Snow Queen herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Disney released Frozen, and you know, the writers and creators are on record saying how excited they were about the movie.
Yes.
I think that's what, there's something in their passion that must, and their already developed idea, story idea.
And this
that
just
allowed
it.
Disney
yes.
to allow them to use these characters.
Mm-hmm. No, I can imagine. And just the fact that they spent the entire half of the season to basically the Frozen storyline is also showing how valuable this is for them.
Oh, yeah.
I just wonder how
the villain in the arc is the Snow Queen and
yes.
the actual fairy tale of the Snow Queen.
Yeah, I've read that story several times in the past, and it's a very famous fairy tale. However, I can't really tell. It's been too long. If the way she's portrayed here and the storylines, how faithful that is to the original fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
You have any details about that, Shelley? Or
well, yes. I mean the Snow Queen is cold, and it's very much a reason versus, how do I explain it? Okay, summer is always in the romantic period associated with love and truth and nature and God and goodness. And then winter, being cold, is always aligned with science and reason and an absence of love being warmth, an absence of... progression. You know, it's so the flowers are blooming. It's springtime. Everything's happy and in love. And in the fall, everything dies and it goes into winter and it's the end. It's so there's that dichotomy in the story. Well, the Snow Queen herself, she takes the little boy and they run off. And it's the heroine is a girl named Gerda.
Oh.
Gerda, who's the mother of our Frozen heroines here. And she's the one that goes on the journey and rescues Kay, the boy, who is not her brother, but is just a boy that lived across the way from her. And there's this long journey, and they go to Lapland, and there's a reindeer, Sven.
Oh,
and
interesting.
I mean, so there's a lot of elements that are being brought. Now, she rescues Kay by hugging him, and her warm tears melt the ice in his heart.
Hmm.
So, and then they have to journey back, and there's people that help them along the way. So a lot of that is coming out. The very first story in the fairy tale told in seven stories is the one about the mirror. The devil imbues the mirror with dark magic and shatters it and scatters it across the world, and the pieces, some are as fine as sand, and they get in people's eyes, some get in their hearts, some are larger and are used as eyeglasses. You've heard of seeing everything through rose-colored glasses. This is the opposite, and it distorts their vision. And so here, when Belle looks in that mirror and her guilt is magnified, her self-doubt comes out. It calls her a coward. She's weak. She's being manipulated by the mirror. And that's right out of the story.
Fascinating. And it could give us some clues as to where the story with this particular Ice Queen is going. Just the fact that in the story, she's actually saving the boy with her warm tears and everything. There must be good in her. She's not just all ice. And her name itself, Ingrid, is that also the name in the original fairy tale? Or is it something they came up with?
There's no name for the Snow Queen in the fairy tale, just Gerda and Kay.
Ingrid's a very Nordic name. It actually was the Norse god of peace and fertility. And she was supposed to be a beautiful goddess as well. So that's one element. There has to be good in the Ice Queen. You don't turn evil just for nothing. And then the whole element of the mirror, of course, becomes very important in this episode and in the following one, where the mirror is creating the vision, and it's breaking hearts, and it's literally shattering relationships. So the family business, I think a hint at the fact that it's all about family. But at the same time, whenever you have strong bonds, the story will require those bonds to be threatened or even broken for the sake of drama. And then, of course, they need to be mended as well. And that creates interesting stories, like the one in this episode. Let me go back to the storyline of this. We get the death of Belle's mother. That was quite surprising. When I saw the images, it was like, there are so many books. This has to be Belle's mother. Well, it turns out to be right. This must be during the Ogre Wars, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, my question with this was, is she really dead? This is Once Upon a Time. We didn't see a body.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, Belle, you know, you see them hovering and the ogres coming. And then, you know, Belle wakes up like a day later and doesn't have any memory. And they're all, you know, her dad was all, we're not talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's a casket, but there's no mom. And the fact that they got a well-known actress to play her mother makes me think,
oh,
is that,
wow.
I mean,
yeah.
you don't pay someone that much money just for a little two-second part.
No, you're right.
In my opinion.
Unless it's a big fan of the show and
right,
wants to be on the show
on
for free. But yeah, you're right. Actually, that was a weird moment. And the fact that she had amnesia later on returns, of course, with the trolls, the rock trolls, actually being able to make people forget.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how come? Is this just post-traumatic stress causing this amnesia? Is something else going on? And what's the role of her father? Is the father... did he use magic to make these memories disappear? It's kind of uncertain.
It's well, and that's what it makes me think that they're setting up for future storyline for Belle.
Yeah,
you know, they're introducing something and teasing us with, mm-hmm. oh, there's more to Belle than, I don't know. That part was very intriguing to me because why go through that if it's just for her, oh, I'm going to go search for my memories. It just mm-hmm. seemed to be a little more than that.
Yeah.
Well, the father didn't say the mother died. He didn't say it. He just said the mother sacrificed herself.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, of course, we've got the moment later on when Belle and Anna are going to find the rock trolls, and she gets that blue crystal that if she... I'm always like kind of a strange... Way, probably the rock trolls can just snip their fingers and that would restore things. No, you have to take this stone and bring it to a place, and it creates a quest. It's classic fairy tale narrative, but it is a little bit cumbersome. It's like, oh, come on, just use magic right
away.
Really? Why a stone? And can it be just something easier to hold on to?
But yeah, but they had to set it up so that Belle would have to make that choice.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like the Indiana Jones and the third one.
The one with the cup of Jesus, the Holy Grail.
Oh, Last Crusade.
Yeah. Thank you. So, and you know, they come out with the cup and you can't cross the seal and the earth opens up and then I've almost got it. I can reach it. I can get it. And they're like, Indiana, you know, come with me. You've got to come in. Oh, okay. So he lets it go and lets it fall. And she was hesitating so much going after the stone that Anna fell and was captured, injured, mm-hmm. captured by Ingrid, the aunt, who we don't know exactly what she did with her. But that's why Belle is so lying to Elsa about not, you know, having, not knowing her sister, not having been there.
Yeah. It's the fact that she loses a stone and she chooses to, she tries to save Anna. The fact that the stone is shattered is a moment that you as an audience are like, oh, now we'll never get to know what her memories are. At the same time, this is Once Upon a Time. So one way or another, they're still going to recover those memories in another way. There has to be more to this. You can't just show us something and then not pay it off. Because there was a reason that she wanted to remember, because those are the last moments with her mom, and so there is a value to that, and we also want to know. So that's definitely a storyline that will return towards the end of this half season. What did y'all think of the whole, you know, pairing up between Anna and Belle? I felt that almost Anna all of a sudden was kind of this really, really naive, weak girl that she tries to climb a mountain and she climbs up like 2 inches and she falls down and says, oh,
well, that was
this
right
is terrible. I cannot do this.
But that's a play from the movie, you remember, where she's like, I'm going to go. And she's like, am I almost there? And then she's like an inch off the ground, you know.
And that's one of my favorite lines where Olaf says.
I totally missed that. I apologize.
There's a staircase over here.
I forgot about that. But yes, that is just an inside joke. I was like, oh, come on.
I know.
Can't be that bad.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And they meet at Oaken's.
Well, it's kind of sillier when it's a person doing it than it's the movie character. But, it's one of those, they're trying to include it.
Yeah.
Well, and they meet at Oaken's the way she met Kristoff at Oaken's. You know, mm-hmm. Oaken is basically not telling Belle anything that she needs to know. And I can't tell you. And it's here comes Anna to the rescue. Oh, I couldn't help it over here. Well, actually, yes, I could. You know, but, oh, I can take you there. They're practically family. So that was cute, too.
In Storybrooke, in the meantime, of course, also a lot of things are going on, especially the big drama there with Regina and Robin, her predestined true love, still hugely conflicted between his love for Regina and then, his wife actually being frozen and having to somehow be saved. And Regina is just struggling and struggling, and she can't figure out what to do. And it must make her feel extremely vulnerable, especially since she once was that, you know, the evil queen. There was nothing she couldn't do. And now she's completely powerless and basically has to hand over the reins to Robin. And then Robin is like, I can't do anything. I can't just flip a switch and start loving my wife again. I'm really disliking Robin, actually. Like, that's too easy, dude. You've got a kid.
You got an excuse for everything.
You got a kid. Come on, the kid needs a mom. Do it for him. There's something, I don't know, a bit weird about that whole thing, and I still don't know how they are going to resolve it. In the meantime,
no, but I'm having fun watching Regina be the selfless. Have to go to your wife. Quit, forget about me.
It's definitely a new role for Regina. And then at the same time, you've got the whole dynamic between Belle and Gold, also riddled with secrets, and both of them actually not being truthful. Although I still think that Gold is a little bit less truthful than Belle. Gold is really, really turning evil here.
She finally kind of woke up to the, I might not have the right dagger. I mean, it was like, and then she still doesn't know. I mean, she was kind of questioning it, and he's doing the whole, it's a loophole. You told me to, what was it? Keep a watch out, not do this. You know, I can't remember the exact verbiage, but it was like a little linguistic loophole. That's not what you said.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you notice what she was wearing?
No.
The scarf?
Yes, with the daggers on it.
Yes.
So yes, I noticed that.
It was white with all these little printed daggers. It was so funny.
I did not notice that. That's funny.
Yeah. So, I don't know. See, that's what I mean by the little details here and there and getting a clue. And here's, you know, and what about Gold going and talking to the Snow Queen? You know, they're literally trying to play each other's hand. And right now he still has the leverage. Was this episode where he talked about having leverage?
Yes.
The first time?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a lot of fun. The whole episode is fun.
You have the Snow Queen basically setting up an elaborate trap for Belle and potentially also for the other people in Storybrooke. We still, at this point, don't know exactly what her end game is going to be. But I love the introduction of the mirror. And then, actually, that was a scene that I really liked with Belle, and then the Belle from the mirror talking to the other Belle. And actually, I was like, that Belle from the mirror is so much more interesting than the Belle from Storybrooke.
Oh, stop it. Lacey.
I agree, Father.
That's what I know.
That was something, I don't know, something much more edgy to it. And I thought it was actually really well acted as well. You have these two characters, almost as if the mirror is showing you your evil self, or perhaps the evil that is in you, but you try to suppress, and the mirror shows you actually who you truly are, or at least the parts that you don't want to see.
It magnifies your weakness.
That
magnifies your self-doubt. It magnifies your guilt. So everything that's negative that was in her was reflected and magnified to her. Yeah. And that's true in the fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a way, it's kind of an interesting theme that the mirror is confronting you with yourself. And so you have to, again, you have to make a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to be truthful? Do I dare to tell the truth? Or am I afraid that the truth is going to hurt? It's going to hurt me. It's going to destroy relationships. And ultimately, of course, in fairy tales, if you tell the truth, that is what you're supposed to do. That's the good thing to do. Mm-hmm. But it is also shown very clearly in this episode and also in the next one that the truth is also a very dangerous thing and it can hurt to tell the truth. The story of Emma is also increasingly interesting because we discover with Emma that there is a past with her and the Snow Queen. Ingrid apparently has been stalking Emma since she was born and has all sorts of stuff that pertains to her, to Emma's life. And we still don't really understand what's going on here. But I found that very creepy, that apparently Ingrid has been in the background all along.
And Sarah is the name that she goes by in Storybrooke. Mm-hmm. And this is where some of the funniest lines came out, too. You know, if you haven't noticed, I'm about to storm an evil ice cream truck.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And who said you ain't Captain Guyliner? Was that Regina?
That was Regina.
That's awesome.
Captain Guyliner, that just tells you that they're the writers are reading social media.
Yes.
And they're you know, hearing what's out there. It's too funny.
They know what we're saying.
Isn't it cool that the fans are actually now writing lines for Regina? This can only
Maybe
happen
that's
in
what
this
should
day
do.
And age.
We should try to start a social media campaign for what should Regina say next? Like, how, see if we yes. can get something in an episode.
Well, like, we need to
start a meme or something.
Yes. Didn't that be fun?
Yes.
Go ahead. You have my blessing.
Let's do it.
Okay. So anyone out there who has a suggestion has to be really good, though.
Yes.
It has to be punny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should try it in the beginning of the next half season.
Well, they're probably right almost now done for next time, right?
Oh, that's true. That's
yeah, we
true.
Need to think ahead and already start thinking about the second half of the season that will start in March, because this one yes. is almost coming to an end. Mm-hmm. What about the scroll with the runes on it? Those runes definitely look like something straight out of Tolkien. And I wouldn't be surprised if some fans have decoded it or tried to figure out what's written on there.
I didn't look, but she said she didn't speak Elvish, or didn't read Elvish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was definitely a nod.
I think it's a nod to Tolkien. Not that they own the rights to do that, so they'll probably get sued by the Tolkien estate at one point.
No, but they are using actual Nordic.
That's possible. Yes,
runes
yes.
on like what Belle was reading. Mm-hmm. So I went looking. I actually paused the screen to see what book Belle was reading. She was trying to find out about something to help her regain her memories, and then so I wrote it down on my notes, and then I went online right before we started and found that somebody else had done it.
Wow.
And so it's easier to read than somebody else's. So this came off of Tumblr. And it says the talismanic adornments of the rock troll. And it says trolls can cast powerful enchantments, in particular spells used to rest someone's heart or mind. They do this by the emanation of a magical frequency generated through the crystals they wear about their body. Hmm. The power of this working is increased by their entire number acting in unison. So they're really powerful people. The crystals made of andradite and peridot are worn by the trolls also as protection and defense from the evil around them, including the machinations of men. And then someone actually went through the Futhark ruins and said that those ruins right in front of it possibly spelled troll necklace. But at the top of it, it said trolls are creatures said to be formidable telepaths and said to ably employ subtle acts of persuasion to bend others to their will. Some earlier scholars even went so far as to say they have the ability to restore memories that have been lost. So that's how Belle knew that to go and see the rock trolls in Arendelle.
Hmm. Cool. And the rock trolls, I have to say, have an incredible mastery of CGI because they look really good. I'm actually blown away in general by the quality of the computer generated graphics in this season. They really upped it after our yearly pleas of please give us some more convincing green screen stuff. They're doing a pretty good job, I think, this season.
They've got an increased budget to handle all of this frozen stuff.
Absolutely.
That because makes there's me, a lot of it.
Makes me fear the next part of this season.
When we don't have frozen. And
no more money. It's all going to be in rainy Canada.
Are they using more real sets rather than only blue screen sets, green screen sets?
It's still mostly green screen, I think.
I think that we haven't had as our flashbacks... because usually where they use the green screen is flashbacks, right?
Yes.
What's it called? Enchanted Forest.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of forest look, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Versus castles and
Indeed.
Things like that they usually make
and,
green
screens. And even Arendelle, they show us interior sets. The moose or the, what is it, an elk?
reindeer.
Oh, reindeer. Is I think it's just a puppet. It sometimes just looks like a Muppet, you know? It's like, ooh.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's CGI.
But the way the head moves, it's not very realistic.
Yeah.
It's just probably a guy with a hand inside a head of a, something like that.
Deborah, probably. It's a lot cheaper.
Deborah, could it be an animatronic that they're getting ready to use in Disney World for a Frozen?
Actually, I you know, this is something that my friends that work at Disney Hollywood Studios are saying, is that they're in trying to make Oaken's trading post. Uh-huh. They're somewhere in the studios, and I can't remember where.
That's cool.
But it could possibly be part of Oaken's attraction. I know there's another Frozen attraction right now, kind of a snow Frozen land.
Nice.
That you can go and play in the snow in Florida. But sorry about the phone.
no problem.
I was just thinking that they're probably going to do something at Epcot, taking the Norway and introducing Frozen there.
In fact, the Norway ride, as you know, the 30-year-old Norway ride is now closed. It closed October 4th, and they are making a new Frozen attraction there. And it makes sense because, you know, it's Norway. But, you know, there was a lot of, you know, protesting and, you know, people, you know, wanting to chain themselves to the queue line. And
really?
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Change is so difficult.
Yeah.
I have tons of friends who have been going to Disney World this year, and all of them, even if they don't have little kids, are all sending back pictures of the Frozen stuff at Disney World.
Cool.
So it's got to be huge.
Even when I was out in California back in January and February, and I went to Disneyland, I was walking past them. They had Elsa and they had Anna, character greeting area, and they had a animatronic Olaf, snowman, that interacted with everybody in line, and I was just blown away. And I'm like, and that's just right after the movie came out, and
wow.
I couldn't believe it. How fabulous that was and how popular it was, because the line was like an hour long to go see those princesses.
Yeah.
As a European, I am a little bit fearful of how they will portray Norway, because most Americans seem to think that the Netherlands is kind of like Norway. And is it in Disney World, Deborah, where you have that whole like, do Europe in half an hour?
Epcot. And did I not take you on the Norway attraction? That seems so wrong.
I don't remember. Is that the roller coaster?
No, it's a water ride.
You don't have time to do everything.
No, I don't think I did that.
Plus, Norway ride was always kind of like, I have weird rules because, you know, I'd worked there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the ride queue was more than 20 minutes, I wasn't going to go on it.
Uh-huh.
There's just no way. And that ride, it seemed like it was always pretty long, like the queue to get on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, at least a half an hour. So I didn't ride on it very often. Plus, then you had to be forced to watch the, you know, 7-minute movie at the end. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Gets old.
Oh my gosh.
But the funny thing is, the whole Epcot Europe part, it's like all the cliches that you can come up with are concentrated in a few square kilometers. It's like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe how they. It's like the small world, you know, and you see the Dutch part, and it's like, yeah, right, everybody here is walking on wooden shoes, and it's not the way it looks here. But anyway.
Well, like we were talking earlier, all Texans ride horses to school, right?
That's what I thought. Is that the case?
And
aren't you sitting on a horse right now during this episode?
I know.
Wearing cowboy hats and saying yee-haw every two phrases.
That's only during rodeo season.
I see.
That is true.
I knew it.
There's like a whole month that we do.
We are kind of off topic, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we are.
We have to go back to the world of the Snow Queen. It is fun from time to time. We like to goof around. I think we talked about most of the things. There's, of course, the sorcerer's hat still. That is kind of, what is the role of this hat? And we've seen the power of the hat, and yet they don't seem to pay it off right now. Are they saving this for the kind of the half-season finale, that somehow I'm still waiting for that, you know, Fantasia moment where everything goes out of hand and the hat is used for the wrong purposes. Any theories or speculation about what will happen with that?
I was thinking about that. And I'm sorry, I have an echo and it's really bothering me.
Oh, I apologize. Could be Skype acting up.
That's not my theory. My theory is that
I almost feel like Rumpel will use the hat to strip the Snow Queen of her powers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to saying at this point.
Yes.
Plus, you know, there's this added weird Henry. I really think all of a sudden you're going to see Henry use his powers.
That's true. Henry is kind of in the background, and I think it has to do also with the actor growing up, and perhaps his voice is breaking, and then, but he seems to be really, really, you know, kind of on the sidelines in this part of the season. But I think it would be very cool if he would somehow save the day in the end and take on the role of Mickey in a way, perhaps causing havoc. I don't know. Something is about to happen, I think. And then, of course, you've got the mirror. And the mirror is, we get the revelation from Belle, I think, who tells us about the spell of shattered sight. Mm-hmm. And if that mirror takes over, then everybody will turn on each other. And that, of course, is a huge threat to, well, the title of this episode, Family Business. It's going to destroy what makes everybody so happy. And that is that they're family. We're family. And it seems to me that, well, the Snow Queen is also after this family in one way or another.
Well, I have a theory. And keep in mind, I am spoiler free. I have not looked ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to guess that she's going to somehow shatter the mirror and get it all, and everybody's going to be against each other. And I think you're right. I think Rumpel will eventually use the hat, or maybe it will be Henry. I don't know, but yeah. That's how they'll get her. They'll strip her of her powers. And the second half of the season is going to be The Apprentice. They've only barely scratched it. We're going to have a lot more about Henry and gold and what was revealed in the next episode that we're not talking about quite yet.
Perhaps, yes.
I have to point out, too, that I missed an episode and y'all missed the water under Emma's car.
Yeah.
And she was like, she thought it was, you know, Dairy Queen, Snow Queen.
Uh-huh.
It was also a nod to the hat, the apprentice. When the apprentice, when Mickey Mouse is supposed to be washing, it floods. Everything floods.
Oh, of course,
the
yes.
fact that it was water and not frozen, mm-hmm. To me, is they're just screaming, dropping hints about this Fantasia apprentice sorcerer's hat is going to be huge, I think.
I think the shattering of the mirror would definitely another nice reference to the original story of the Snow Queen. And then perhaps we've seen that the hat can be used as a big vacuum cleaner. So that could be a way to get rid of all the fragments of the mirror. Just open the hat and then just magically suck it all away.
Well,
Emma's going to be the savior again.
Yeah, she is. She'll figure out how to use her powers. I was going to say, I did look ahead, and I do have a spoiler about the second half of the season. And I don't know if you want me to reveal it, but it kind of gives an indication of where they're going to go with the storyline.
Is it a mild spoiler, or is it a big one?
I think it's a mild spoiler, because it doesn't really give away...
Okay.
They're introducing another... evil Disney character.
Oh, interesting. All right. Let's wrap it up here.
I think I know this one.
I don't know it yet, but I'm just going to tell everyone who doesn't want to hear this, thank you for listening, and check out our next episode. Now, please plug your ears with your fingers and go la la la. Okay, what's going on in the second half of the season?
You know, get ready to see if she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will. Cruella de Vil.
Awesome! Cruella de Vil!
So, yeah, first season we had, the Dr. Hopper's dog, you know, and we were like, oh, yeah.
Does that mean we're going to get to see him more again?
I think so. I really think we're going to see more. Because he has the dog. He has the Dalmatian.
Yes. Well, but if that's true, then I think that we're...
Oh, he's going to have to meet somebody.
The whole Frozen thing and Ice Queen, that's all going to be over. Because that doesn't really mix well with Cruella de Vil and Dalmatians and that,
they're gonna,
that sort of stuff.
They're going to end that storyline, and then they're going to bring in Cruella.
They're definitely going for 101 episodes, I guess.
but maybe Dr. Hopper will meet somebody, because if he's got Pongo, he's going to have to meet Perdita.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, that's the whole storyline behind 101 Dalmatians is Roger meets, and I can't remember her name. Because I didn't look at the, you know, I didn't refresh. I haven't seen 101 Dalmatians in probably 20 years. Because it's not my favorite Disney movie, but that's okay. But, you know, the whole premise is that Roger's walking, you know, his dog, and then he runs into the girl Roger marries, and she has a Dalmatian, and then they both, you know, make this family, and the dogs make a family, and yeah, so.
Well, and don't forget, too, that they remade that movie, a live action with, wasn't it, Glenn Close?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, Anita.
Mm-hmm. Anita, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Very good.
And they've already started filming. I just looked.
Of course. Well, we're not done with this half of the season yet. I think it is time for us to wrap up this episode, and we thank our listeners again for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed our discussion. And, of course, we will be back with this discussion of the next episode, which is called The Snow Queen. And then we're going to hear a lot more about the motivation of evil Ingrid. Or is she that evil? Well, tune in next time for another episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.